All right, Jimmy. Well, thanks so much for taking part and adding your voice to the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection. Just to get started, would you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Jimmy Green. I'm manager for Virginia Ground Family and manager for Icon of Ghetto Government Music.
All right, so you want to discuss those two a little bit for me? Tell me what they're about, where they located, all that good stuff.
All right. Well, Virginia Ground Family is located at Virginia Beach. There's a collective of drug MCs that came together with the idea of Wu-Tang. How Wu-Tang came together, they formed the 7ists, they formed the MCs, they came together, things like that. Icon was basically just brought in tunes for Virginia Ground Family, but he's a ghetto government music artist that was signed by Frank Liddy, the group Protection Net Records. So we have growing like that. I've been working with him for the last couple of years.
Okay. Let's see. So you mentioned the fact that Virginia Ground Family is adopted the model that Wu-Tang laid down about 20 years ago. Are you any way connected? Because I know that there's some Wu Syndicate folks in the area. Is that something that also connected at all with?
No, that's not how it is. Everybody grew up listening to the Wu, and we want to do something that hasn't been done in Virginia yet. And we've seen groups come together, but we haven't seen individual artists that have their own following come together like Wu-Tang did, and then put them together and make something happen.
Okay, so in terms of that freedom to not only be your own artist, but then also come together. That's where you guys are. That's where you're going with that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay, so let's see. So, and in terms of the sound and the style, I mean, I'm not gonna say, you know, I don't mean like it sounds like Wu-Tang, but I mean, you guys are you're presenting kind of a grimier style of hip hop.
You know what you get now. You're getting just the basic. Same thing, you know, they play the same artists. Well, that's why a lot of people we know are listening to internet radio, and that's what they're attacking, because they want the real shoot, this is a hip-hop to come back, and that's why they're looking for artists that have that foundation, and then that's what they support, and that's what they go after, and that's what they're looking for, because a lot of people don't listen to the radio no more, just for the sole fact that they hear the same four songs.
Well, they say
the same 4 to 10 songs on each of the same stations because they only play the same stations. And maybe that's because we're limited and what we're allowed to listen to coming in Virginia, what Virginia DJs play. Because there's other artists out there that's blowing up that we don't even hear about.
Yeah.
And they can't be nobody because we don't hear them. Well, that's how it is. We get what they want us to play, what they need to play, what they want to play here. So we don't get the true elements of hip-hop. Or any other version of it, we get the word down version of what they wanted to keep listening to, which is the popular ones that are playing throughout the area.
Yeah,
that's really about it.
Okay, so want to sort of jump tracks real quick, but are you Virginia born and bred?
Yeah, I was born in Germany, but I've lived here the majority of my life. So, like I say, I'm from Virginia.
Okay, so you said born in Germany. Were your folks military?
Yeah.
Okay. And so that seems to be well, I mean, obviously that's a big part of Virginia in terms of military folks moving in and out. I'm curious about how do you see that movement of people affecting the hip hop culture in the state?
Say that again.
Yeah, you know, in terms of because Virginia and the military is such a big industry, that people are moving in and out of the state so much and moving through Virginia. I'm curious about your thoughts on how that affects hip hop culture in Virginia.
Well, that enhances it. Being that you have a military area, that means there's a lot of people coming from the states.
People
come from the south, people come from the north, from the west, from other countries also. So, that was the hip-hop that they listen to, are brought back right now. A lot of the guys that are actually doing, the, the, What he did, I was going there from the military, and that's what they do. They were doing the military. They need to join the military. They have to have a job, basically. They're here, and they're going to get out. And, but they've been doing music the whole time. And they're influenced by them, like, a lot of West Coast. There are a lot of West Coast people from the West. They're like, why should I play West Coast artists here?
You think that's, I mean, is that one of the big reasons why a lot of folks say, like, Virginia doesn't have an identifiable sound?
Yeah. Yeah, I really would, because there's so many, and they're eclectic that you can't pinpoint and say, there's one sound that comes out of Virginia. Like, I know Timbaland tried to do it, I know that Pharrell tried to do it, they tried to pinpoint and say, this is the VA sound. And then they couldn't do it. Because, let's see, Pharrell was supposed to be a fusion of music. And that's what Nerd was. He was a fusion of music. And his beats were a fusion of everything also, so he incorporated everything that he listened to, that he heard, and brought to his attention. But there's no one sound, so there's so many sounds that come out of Virginia. There's like so much good music comes out of Virginia. There's so many styles, there's dirty styles, there's the South style, there's the North style, there's the pop style, and then there's that bubblegum style that they do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it strikes me the fact that in a lot of ways the Virginia sound is the sound of like all is the sound of all music. You know what I mean? So let's see. I'm curious about what was your first memory of hip hop?
I was able to watch MTV, but I watched MTV for the first time, and I watched Kool Moe Dee, Wild Wild West.
Okay.
That was the very first song I really heard. That was really hip hop. And then I got into R&B and Rakim that fall. That really made me love hip hop. R&B and Rakim, because I listened to Rakim, and Rakim, he didn't use cuss words to say what he had to say, which I thought that was a real good, because everybody. You had to dumb yourself down, and if you couldn't say nothing, you put a cuss word in there to make it proper. Well, Rakim was totally different. He used his words very, very, very well to articulate his story, and that's what made me love hip hop.
Okay, so how do you define hip hop?
Hip hop is a culture. It's a culture of fads. Because they come and they go. Like hip hop has coined words. Like they coined swag. They coined like bling bling. With Wayne and Baby and Cash Money. They coined bling bling. Bling bling was a way of life. It was shiny, it was flashy. But the true element of hip hop is the big boy style, breaking graffiti and all that other stuff. That's why I like to see that. I see those elements. So I see guys that like I've got graffiti artists. What they do is, and they only have the break, and they do that. Like, you're the true essence of hip hop. And then there's other fractions of hip hop, that there's other segments of hip hop that thinking of what making a culture, but the true essence is breaking and choreography.
So in terms of the original foundational elements, would you mind talking about how you experienced those in Virginia?
I didn't experience too much breaking, because I don't have any single breakers. But I do a lot of graffiti. I honestly do a lot of graffiti and things like that.
Yeah, would you mind telling me about the Virginia graffiti scene?
There's a lot of tag artists around. They like the element. They like the tag train. The tagging is the purest form. So that's what they use. They can't rap, or they can't do anything. They use their arts as a talent. And the influence the way the other thing goes.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that a lot of the taggers, they the trains are their favorite targets.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's those are circulating, and we don't have a subway system or anything like that. Okay, so you know, in terms of like middle school and high school, what was hip hop culture like for you and your friends growing up?
Well, when I grew up, hip hop culture, what was going on was it was the Southwood. It was Cash Money versus No Limit. That was a real big thing. It was really Beefs. Beefs were a real big thing in the high school. It was Tupac and Biggie. Mm-hmm. There was Master P and Cash Money. There was Patrick Short Stack. I'm a guy. Patrick Short Stack. There was Patrick Short versus Sandy Danko. That's what was going on when I was. It was a beef time. That's when Beefs was really. With elevated your career, because I saw 50's career start with Beef with Ja Rule, and then that took her in. That ain't go. That's really the Beef. The Beef was really real beef element when I was growing up.
Okay.
That's what it was. It was attack a notable person to get your name, and then when that person acknowledged you, that's how you got yourself in. That's how 50 got in. He attacked him, and that made 50 who he was.
Mm hmm. So, how has like beef culture influenced what you do in hip hop?
Well, with my artists, I try to keep them from doing diss records.
Okay.
Diss records do nothing but enhance the other person that you're dissing. Or saying another person, another artist is whack because that artist he might not be my style, but he's not whack. I just don't like his music. If I'm saying something about him, that's gonna get him word of mouth. So I try to keep my artists from saying negative things about other artists to say, yo, I don't like his style, keep doing what you're doing, but you're not, don't say nothing negative about another person. So that person isn't the same, but you wouldn't be unique.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I feel about that. The defense really took a turn because now more people are more interested in what you have going for you than what you can say about somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you mind running me through, the sort of day to day and the stuff that you got to do to be able to manage your artists?
All right. Well, my day to day begins with a meeting. We do company meetings every week.
Mm-hmm.
We set a plan up what we're gonna do. Like, I currently try to hear tape, so that's out right now. Jay Valentine's working on the second mixtape that's coming out very soon. We just put a system of everything that they have to do. Line up, and I have to worry about setting up shows for them and getting the website straight and things like that. So I have there's a ton of things to be doing on the side of me being the manager. And then when you do events, I gotta get there and talk to people, make sure they meet the right people, make sure the shows go right,
mm-hmm.
and do the things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you have folks under you that you're also being like, okay, I need you to do X, Y, and Z? Are you like subcontracting? Like, how does that work?
Well, we have a team. I have a dude, a team. I have a technical manager who runs a website. His name is Bryce Schiflet. I have a promotion manager. He handles most of the promotion for things we have going on. I have name is Greg. I mean, so we have other people that designated to do things, but mm-hmm. Like me and Bryce, we're the top two managers. If
okay.
I'm not there, Bryce is there. Obviously, if we're both there, we're both front of us, we run each other. Bryce struggled with something, he runs the press for me. I come on time, I run the press Bryce. Then me and Bryce sit down, and then if we like the idea, we share it out to everybody, let everybody see what everybody else thinks. And then there's really five members of the Danny Ground family, and it's extended to like 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So only 7 votes count. So 7 votes, you know what I mean? That determines what we do or what we don't do.
Okay. Okay. So, kind of try to operate sort of like a limited democracy.
Yeah. So because there's still kind of like a group, but it's more like a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's more thing of a group, but it's more like a brand because each one of them is an individual artist.
Yeah.
So since they're individual artists, we have a say. So I'm like, yo, where do you want your career going? You want your career going like this? Then you can do this. We should enhance it, and we look for the input on how they think. We just don't think, oh, this is what you're going to do, and do it like this. It's a collective. We have input. Everyone wants to see everybody to see, and one makes it, we all make it, and that's just how we see it. So we try to enhance each other's careers more than we're hindrance or, like, telling somebody what they have to do. We're like, let's take a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to come out better than having a dictator saying, well, this is what we're going to do, and I don't care what anybody says, it's just we need to get done. People feel like they're not a collective, it's not a whole, then they tend to shut down. So we try to keep people from shutting down, we try to keep everybody's input. Every artist can bring something to the table, and then they'll put to a vote. And if it's voted upon and it's agreed upon, then whatever the artist does, it's put into action what we're going to do.
Yeah, so I'm curious on why you all decided on using this model as opposed to just being separate artists.
The model works.
Mm-hmm.
And the model works. We look at how Wu-Tang did some 20 years ago, and every time you drop an album, it goes platinum without a whole lot of promotion, without a whole lot of anything, because of the name it carries.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And individual artists, they're generals. Mm-hmm. They run their own families, they're in charge of their own thing, but they're generals of their own army, and everybody's a general within the Virginia Ground family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we put it. And then we just keep it going from there, and we want to last longer than Wu-Tang, or be able to be heard about. Just going to that's the plan. The plan is to get to that point. But 20 years from now, they be like, "Yo, you heard the Virginia Ground Family dropped another album 20 years from now."
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to go buy it. That's why one reason we linked up with Ghetto Government. That's the Protection Records, which has a Wu-Tang stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Wu-Tang line that we're on. I kind of signed the Protection Records.
Okay.
And the government restriction of records. So we're actually somehow affiliated with Wu-Tang because he's under Wu-Tang management. So, mm-hmm. Okay, we took that path. We wanted the blueprint is Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take this blueprint and we're going to run with it and we're going to go along with it and then that's what we're going to do. And whatever happens, come along that way, go along and then meeting Frank Nitti, telling him that, like, yo, our passion, our crew is like the Wu-Tang. We want to do like Wu-Tang. All the collective artists. You have Wu-Tang over here. You have Wu-Tang management. You have the icon. So that's how we forged that little marriage between Virginia Brown Family and Ghetto Government Wu-Tang Shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we did that.
Okay. So how did you get connected with all the folks you work with?
So I met Frank Nitti at an event. Yeah, I mean, all the artists at events, like, meet artists, and the good thing about it is they all know each other, so it's not like, oh, you don't know this person, so let's get together. Everybody sat down together, and was like, yo, I think we can do this. I think this, because they were talking about this forming, like, cliques, like,
mm-hmm.
three-member cliques, and three-member cliques, and three-member, I was like, no, why would this all just sit down, come up with a name,
mm-hmm.
come up with a brand, and then put everybody in that brand, everybody rep that brand, and then get that brand out, and then keep your solo name, or do solo projects and do a brand like the Wu. And everybody took a vote and everybody's with it. That's why we took that course of action instead of taking it. Instead of action, like, okay, you're a solo artist. Let's do this and we're gonna put all and everybody has to take their time and put all their time and energy into one artist. Pushing it back in one artist when they can everybody can focus the energy on everybody and do whatever one goes first, I'm doing it gets the attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, are your friends and family are they interested in hip hop? Do they keep up with what you're doing? What's going on?
Yeah, my family does. My friends have to do. Well, I was like, I was an artist when I was like 18. I sung. I was a singer. I went through that with my mom. My mom had to do that the singing thing and sit down with the record labels and sit down with some people and get input and then I decided to do the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And you become a manager because there's more money in managing, and there's just more things to do behind the scenes that you can actually do in front, and then you don't feel like a puppet.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean that sounds like. You had some good experience, you know, being sort of being on stage before heading backstage. How has that helped you in your career as a manager?
I know the look for it, I know the sound, I know how to present them, I know what they need to be, actually, for a label to be like, I want you to be ready, you know, not only do you have to be, the song has to be good, you have to be performance ready, you have to be stage ready, you have to be developed,
mm-hmm.
the stage, So you have to be interview ready, so doing interviews and giving interviews and things that you do, you have to work on that. That's why I set up interviews for them, to do different radio interviews, to do this interviews period.
Yeah, yeah.
To do stage, to set up performances from, because the more stage ready you are, the better your show is. When they look at your show, they're going to be like, oh, okay, he can give a show. Next song, he developed well, let's just see what I can do at the table. And that's usually what the execs do, but a lot of us, we're not even worried about getting a real deal with it. If we do get something, it's going to be distribution, because we don't want to sign to a major, because majors are raping people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're running the money independently. And actually, that's our focus right now, so we're trying to work about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, I'm curious about, I mean, we've mentioned and talked about, like, the Wu-Tang Clan model, also mentioned Eric B. and Rakim as sort of hooking you in hip-hop, but are there some other influences that you have from hip-hop that you use to sort of figure out how you want to proceed in hip-hop?
Well, it's not just, I don't look at just hip-hop, I like all music.
Yeah.
So I look at all facets of music and what's going on inside, what's going on inside of music. Like, say, the certain sound is going on popular, and you can confuse that, you can try to find a way to confuse that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think A wants to infuse jazz with hip-hop, like that, so he's going to accept that it's jazz and hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Will it work? Maybe. Will people like it? Maybe. But we have to see, this is the way, you know, it's about fusing. Can you fuse different cultures? We try to fuse reggae, hip hop, with a song called Pep Can Rum. You know, I mean, it did good, but, you know, nobody really pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's all about trying to fuse, trying to break up different avenues. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay, and so that sounds like how you would describe your style too. It's just sort of doing what you like and what you think is interesting, basically.
Yeah. Because what's going on in the radio now is really, it's bubblegum music. It's not, it's just, it makes you dance, it has no really substance behind it, it has no really message behind it. And if you listen to the music that they put out, they really tell stories, they're very good storytellers, they tell the story about what he did, and where he's trying to get, what they're doing.
I'm curious. I mean, why do you think that we got into such a poppy territory these days?
Money. If I can go ahead and get you to do a song, and you're gonna go platinum, and I can make all my money off you on your single before you drop an album. I don't need to drop an album.
Mm-hmm.
I can get my money for you like that, and then I can shelf you, and I can sit on the shelf and hold you there, and I can sign something else and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of artists get dropped on labels, like Rascal Dash, he got dropped on his label. He had those two songs, he got to drop his album, he got it on the label, he had to go to another label to drop his album.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they basically kept him, because they knew it was bubblegum, and they got their money for him. So that's all labels do, they don't care about the longevity of your career, they care about what they can make off you. At the time that you're hot, they don't care about you. After your first album, what you're gonna do? After your first album, figure out when that come out. You might even be a one hit wonder. All they care about is if they can make as much money off you off that single. They can make as much money off the period. That's all the record execs really care about. They don't really care about the careers of the artists like they used to. They used to take the time. They used to get there. Used to get artists used to develop from the ground all the way up, taking through all the whole career, like through the rise. See them get up to the top. Keep him at the top for a long time. Now they just want to teach you YouTube sensation. Oh, there's YouTube sensation? You got a deal. Get the song. Get the song done. They don't care for you. They don't care for you to be the album. Power example would be Chief Keef. That's a power example.
Yeah.
He got a good song. But when he did a big album deal, he sold what? I think it was like 20,000 copies. Because everybody was going to everybody downloaded it instead of buying it. like they said, we were like, oh, we support you, then when they went to the White House, when they got on the internet, they stopped wanting the store to buy it, they started buying it, which is another hindrance of artists. And they don't get money either. So that kind of shows that you're true.
Yeah.
People downloading and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a manager, how do you navigate the internet and stuff like that? Because on one hand, you want to use the internet to promote your artist, but on the other hand, I mean, it's like you say that it can also, you know, everybody's like, well, I can get it for free. Why do I have to pay? You know what I mean?
Right.
So how do you, so I mean, like, you know, how you navigate that?
You never get the generation buzz. That's really the main thing. You get them enough to where they want to buy it. Or you give them a free song and they like you to buy everything else. Mm-hmm. And they like that. They like the one song that you have. And they can't get anything anywhere else. Because until you make it mainstream, you're really not on it. And you're not really, your song is really not going to be on the internet unless you put them up there.
Yeah.
So they want something from you. They have to get it from you. They got to buy it. They got to come see what you have. They got to buy it from you. Or they got to go on your website. Our website, you go on the website, they can download it. Which is basically they can pay.
Mm-hmm.
We use that download as a unit sold. Every download we consider as a unit sold. So we use that as numbers to show the labels that we want distribution, because this is how many downloads we have. So this is a unit that's sold compared to a download. And okay. We plan on going all digital anyway, so
yeah.
Really won't be no physical and all that other stuff, so.
Yeah, so and what are you using? Are you using like Bandcamp or something like that, or
We use everything. We use Reverb Nation. They have their own web page, and then we use Tweet My Mixtape. We use the various social medias, all the mixtape sites. We use all those. We use anything avenues out there to actually get yourself further.
Yeah.
We also use the print. We use the magazines. We use the internet magazines. We use the actual physical magazines that you actually have to get. You have to go to the store and buy. But a lot of magazines are switching to the internet because it costs them less money to put the magazine out digitally than it would actually put paperback.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of internet magazines, doing a lot of internet shows, and the internet radio stations, things like that. So because the internet seems to be the new mainstream radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna turn off the regular radio and go on the internet radio. So if you're on the internet, you're getting that love. You're getting that airplay.
Yeah.
The internet, they just love underground, pure hip hop. And that's just how it goes. Internet stations love it.
Mm-hmm.
Internet stations don't love that. They don't love that. That pure. They don't love that. They don't want to hear it. The only ones that play that are the ones that actually major big players like Jeezy. Those are artists they play. They don't play. We don't hear the Tyler Kali. We don't hear the Most Def. We don't really hear those because it's not the type of music that they want to play here.
Right. So, what is your relationship with the music industry?
Say again?
What's your relationship with the music industry?
Meaning?
Like, in terms of, you know, working with some of the more mainstream infrastructure.
Like,
dealing with you know, stuff like radio, distribution, negotiating with labels, stuff like that.
Well, right now, the main labels you really deal with are like the local, but the baby independent labels. Because you have different labels, you have independents, you have baby independents, and then you have this just right in the middle of the local labels.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the baby independents. They have some major backing. They have distribution through like Universal or Def Jam or Chicken Deck Records or something. They have that major backing, but we're dealing with a local company, the CM Union, that has that major backing. And I work with my portfolio, get my ties down with people.
Mm-hmm.
I met music artist Scotty Boy. Mm-hmm. I know him. I talked to him constantly on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We got a project with him coming up. I met the CEO of EpicSoul.com,
mm-hmm.
Michael. Okay, he's a good dude. We're about to start working with him, doing some things at him. So it's more of a calculated pick who you want to talk to.
Yeah,
pick
yeah.
Pick who you want. Is this person on the same page you want?
Mm-hmm.
If this person on the same page you want, then that's what we're working with. We're not just saying, hey, you're a label, we want to work with you. No.
Right.
Are you on the same page you want? Our whole thing is unity. Because the motto is for Virginia Grafton is, I am a brother keeper. So, it's all about unity. So if you're not on the same page, we can't really deal with you. And that's what we don't bring that element into. If a team out, if you're not part of the team, don't even try to come in. If you're going to try to show the team, don't even try to find them. You know what I mean? So that's just how we see it.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind tell me about some of the sort of local labels, independent labels in Virginia that you've worked with or that you know of that you think are pretty solid?
All right, we have G-Man Entertainment. They're very solid. They have a tremendous roster. Bo Black, who was a part of Virginia Rap, when he just signed a G-Man. So I want to congratulate Bo Black again on that. Ghetto Government Music Group. They have Icon. They're about to sign another artist from Virginia Rap, from the Ava the Don. He's about to sign with them. Yeah, Street Slang Music Group. You know what I'm saying? He basically, his name is Big Shins. He basically sat back and turned around. He made Boycott Radio,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the biggest internet radio stations in the DMV. And he breaks all the radio. He pays nothing but under DMV artists from DC, Maryland, Virginia. And he plays a little mainstream, but he basically plays underground hip hop. So there's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Life.ent. There's so many of them, because there's so much talent here.
Yeah.
It's going to take somebody to actually recognize that there's talent actually here instead of going abroad, and that's what kind of makes a lot of the artists here upset to see that some of the artists here make it, and then they think there's no talent here. Like Timberland said, there was no talent in Virginia.
Right.
Pusha T has said there's no talent in Virginia. And a lot of people are looking at him like, yo, you should be... Like, you know, it's telling them again because they will support you when nobody else is supporting y'all. You know what I mean? Y'all got y'all breaks here. Like, y'all being strong had to do in Virginia. You know what I mean? So everybody's like, yo, why are you taking no talent in Virginia? So that kind of makes some artists feel like they have to leave outside the state. That's what all of them say. A lot of them say, yo, you can't make it here in Virginia. You have to go outside of Virginia to make it, and then you have to come back. And I'm like, you need to make it here, then you go abroad. They're like, it's hard to hear because nobody's here. It's like the crab in the bucket syndrome. Everybody's there trying to do the same thing, but nobody wants to take a chance on anybody and try to pull them out.
Right. So, I'm curious. In thinking about, your life and work and art in hip-hop, how do you see yourself in terms of hip-hop culture?
Say again?
How do you view yourself in terms of hip-hop history and culture?
I see myself as one of the people that's on the ground floor trying to make the Virginia hip hop scene, Virginia music scene relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a little relevancy, but it's not in the area. It's not in the area. You have to go to Northern Virginia, you go to Richmond, you get closer to DC, you start finding that they love the local artists a lot more than around in here. Around this, like the Virginia Beach area, Norfolk
mm-hmm.
area,
mm-hmm.
there's a more support group as you go further in the northern, further north. There's a more support group. There's more people that listen. Like William and Mary. William and Mary has been doing a lot for the hip hop artists around the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in seven cities.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Virginia. So that's why people look at Northern Virginia as a way to actually break into the mainstream. Because if you can go to Northern Virginia, you can be in Northern Virginia and still perform through in DC.
I talked about a little bit in terms of this, crab in the bucket mentality, but I mean, why do you think there is that disconnect between different places in Virginia in terms of being recognized and also making music and making art?
Well, yeah, everybody thinks that they're the best. And you get a little leeway, they open up for somebody. Then when you try to be like, well, let's do a track again, it's like, nah, I'm charging for my features, but before you get this opening, you were ready to do a track. Now, if we wanted to challenge you to open up for this person, now you're trying to charge money. Well, as soon as they get a little taste of being a major star, they want to start becoming outrageous. Like, beat makers, they can have beats produced by a lot of major artists.
Yeah.
And they want to start charging like $5 to $10 to regular artists around the way that they know they grew up with. Now you want to start charging little $5 to $10 because you sold it, you had a track with a major artist. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make you a super producer. That doesn't make you a good producer that somebody wants to come to and get a track for because you already had the track. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so want to kind of switch it a little bit, jump tracks again, and just talk a little bit about sort of the local history, local scene. I'm curious, you know, what were some of the important record stores to when you were growing up that was selling hip hop music?
Definitely DJs, FYE, kind of music.
Okay, so what have been some important concerts that have happened in the area? While from growing up to this day.
I think the most important concert to me, there's been a lot of them. I like Jam Fest when that was going on, Afro Fest when that was going on, where they brought the actual entertainers here to actually perform for the fans.
Yeah.
The true fans. I mean, when you did concerts like that, that was a real good thing. But like when Jay Z came here like last year or the year before, Jay Z comes. You know what I mean? They call it their second home. So that actually gives Virginia some type of relevancy into the music. I'm home, it's my second home, I love this place, this is my second home to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, The concerts were just Jam Fest and Afron Fest, and basically any concert that comes now is actually a good concert.
What have been some of the important clubs that have supported the clubs and venues that have supported hip hop culture?
Alright. The Lounge, Peabody's, Shaka's, a lot of City Lights is a good club that a long time. I've been trying to see club that a long time ago, but City Lights is a good place for everybody to go hang out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little spots around now, like Element. Static Lounge, Element Lounge. So there's still a bunch of them here, and they bring the major artists in. They have them for the after party and things like that. When they come down, they actually do the show. They come for the after party, like Blake Lee and things like that. They actually go to the after party at the regular clubs. Mm-hmm. So people can actually get together and go out and meet them and things like that. So that's another thing that I think is different. Like the clubs, actually, the fans meet the artists and the artists. Like, and like I'm leaving. They actually bring the artists to the lounge, to the club for the after party, and actually they people in, so they can hang around the artists and take pictures and things like that. So they actually do things like that. I don't know, something is kind of good.
I mean, I know we've talked about it. I mean, and you know, like everything that we've talked about is sort of points to this next question, but wouldn't, you know, like you to sort of talk it out a little bit more. It's just describe the state of hip hop in Virginia. Hello? So in terms of next question, it's just, I would like you just to sort of state it out as, describe the state of hip-hop in Virginia.
Coming along very, very, very slowly. We're together at one time, and then I guess all the fighting and all that stuff, the different sides, like Hampton and the Peninsula on the south side, they don't, the artists have a little conflict, kind of put a stretch on just the VA hip hop scene alone. Because south side, people coming from my side, going across the bridge, performing, it's not really, it's more frowned upon. It's kind of more hostility when you go into their house and you're on this side and you rock their house.
Right.
And they come on this side and they don't rock. They don't get the love.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they don't get the support that they get over there. They get that you got over there. You come over here. But again, it has to be coming back together with the help of certain people like Shiz, with Big Shiz and Boycott Radio and Ground Up Radio and all the radio stations that are actually playing the underground artists and actually giving the underground artists a level playing field where they feel like they are on their level with the major artists because they're getting the interviews, they're getting this, they're getting to open up, they're getting to do shows with the artists, they're getting to meet the artists, they're getting the music heard by the artists. So they're trying to make a level playing field to where the hip hop, where the Virginia artists don't feel like it's a clap of the bucket syndrome anymore, that they feel like they can blow from here, they don't have to leave from here. So there's just, like I said, there's certain DJs like DJ Boz and all the other DJs that are trying to get the local artists on the feel like you don't have to leave Virginia to actually make it.
That's what
hurt the scene right there. It's actually just to say, you're part of the music scene, but you're like, I'm not going to make it here. I got to leave here to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't feel like that. If your music scene is jumping like that, you should be able, I can stay here and I can make it out of here. So it's rather to come around where artists start to feel like they can make it here.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority still feel like they have to leave the state to actually make it. So
yeah, you know, you mentioned that there was an earlier time when the scene was more unified. When was that?
About 2 years ago. 2 years ago, everybody was together. She's been around for like 2 years. She can't have a run. But she made his big impression when he tried to bring everybody together. And he was bringing everybody from everywhere, putting them in venues and putting on little showcases, little concerts, and little performances, and letting everybody showcase their talents. And with the people that he knew, he was bringing people into the venue. You know what I mean? Like, yo, check this out. This guy's nice. You know, look at this guy. He actually started bringing the actual record executives into the event. And then as more and more fights start to break out, more and more people start not to feel like they won't get the same respect that this man was getting. This artist was getting, they didn't get this much, they didn't get enough time to do this. That's when everything started to break apart. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's trying to put it back together. Like, yeah, that's what everybody's trying to do. Everybody's actually doing something that's in the middle of the scene. They're actually trying to make it mesh back together where it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, everything was jumping. All their clothes were nice. Everyone was promoting their music. Everyone was doing that. Now, you have a slight little few, but they're the ones that are using the avenues that will open up to them by Shiz, I'm saying by Nitty, by DJ Boz, I'm saying the certain DJs that lead the avenues out for them. They're using those avenues, so they're actually getting further by taking the knowledge that they got from those people and applying it instead of this thing, like, well, I would consider a Facebook artist or a social media artist. They go to the studio, they put it on the internet. A lot of them have stopped doing that and have started taking more time to perfect their craft.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's coming from the influence of Shiz saying, hey, that's not, it's a good song, but if you take the time to make it sound better, they might pay attention to you. You're making all these tracks, they're teaching them more the business side too. They're teaching them to get the copyrights, they're teaching them to get this stuff so they don't get taken advantage of. They're teaching them how to have their business in order before they approach, you know what I mean? So, seeing it coming together, but it's coming together more of I think it'll be better once everything is done. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be more cohesive unit because everybody will have an understanding of the business side, not only the artists, but actually knowing what it takes and what it's going to take them to get to the next level. Before, it wasn't like that. I think there were a handful of artists actually doing it. They were unified. There was a handful. Now we're trying to grab everybody that's actually trying to do something and put them all in, make all one unification and just have them ready.
Right.
That's the main thing. The main thing is to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I want to switch again to the last little bit of the talk. And talking more about just hip hop in your life. I'm curious, how has hip hop impacted your life?
Well, without hip hop, I don't know. I love the culture. The culture has influenced my life a whole lot. More so than the music. Because it's just the dress, the talk, everything's encompassing hip hop is more of an influence than just the music. Because the music is just a fly by night. Because the music is going to change. The music has changed from the 80s to what it is now. But the culture has remained the same, which means the language, the talk, the demeanor, just the history. Then you have to know the history of hip hop, the history of the culture. Once you know the history of the culture and all that other stuff, everything else is all over the place. But the music has changed from the 80s all over to now. It's a total different sound, total different everything.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think is hip hop's impact on American culture?
Hip hop had a very, 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 very influential on the culture. Hip hop culture helped Barack Obama get elected. Believe it or not, because it was the major moguls in hip hop that were telling people to get out and vote, like Diddy and Russell Simmons and all that. Those are all hip hop moguls. Russell Simmons is he's a Def Jam creative. So by him getting out and saying you guys get the youth, rallying the youth vote, that was the biggest influence. The hip hop that was all hip hop and had the youth get out the vote and all that. That was more hip hop influence instead of saying, oh well, they got the youth is fed up with how the world is. No, their favorite rapper was saying get out the vote. And that's what made them go vote. Mm-hmm. That's a change. That's what a lot of people are starting to see. That the hip hop has a much more of an influence than they thought it did on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely influenced the election.
Okay, so what do you think hip hop's place will be in your life? You know, looking 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the line.
It's still real prevalent. It's a culture, and when you embrace the culture, you're always gonna be a part of the culture. Now the music, like I said, the music is gonna change. I might not like the music that becomes the flagship of hip hop. Well, about 5 to 10 years from now online.
Mm-hmm.
But the core values of what hip hop what means and what it is will always still be the same. And as long as those core values stay the same,
mm-hmm.
then everybody loves hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
People love hip hop for certain different reasons. Some people fashion. Some people love it for the music. Some people love it for just the history alone of where it's come from, the way, and where they see it going.
Right.
There's no way. Like in 1988, where hip-hop was going on, nobody really knew what they were going to do. 1991, when they waged the war against the rap, nobody really thought that I said that hip hop would survive after they waged the war or waged the war on hip hop, because they were attacking the culture. They were going out. That's what put on the advisory, put on all the TVs and everything else, because they wanted the people to stop buying it. And by them doing, they didn't enhance people going by it. Because that's the time somebody saying, "Oh, you can't do that," and then you tell them they can't do something, they want to do it more. So that's what they did. And the government, hip-hop influence, government influence, hip-hop, and this is how it's going to be. Hip-hop is going to be here forever. It's not going to change. Hip-hop has been put in a dictionary with bling-bling, you know what I mean? So certain things, certain phrases, even government officials use hip-hop to communicate with the younger generations, because they realize they have to talk their language, and their language is hip-hop, so they have to talk the language. In order to keep the youth in tune with you, you have to be in tune with them. Then, if you embrace yourself in the hip hop culture, they're gonna love you. That's the main reason why Barack Obama won the second election, because they love him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all it was. They love him. Hip hop culture loves him. Bill Clinton the same way. Hip hop embraced Bill Clinton. He embraced hip hop, and that helped him. I mean, it's when you embrace something that you see there, it can only make you better. And when you recognize that something that's going to be here, and it's going to be here forever, it's going to be here forever.
Hip-hop
is a transition between music and music. It's a combination of music that's made hip-hop. That's all it really is. It's a fusion of music. And that's all it is. And the next style of hip-hop might come. It might be electronica and whatever. There might be whatever, but the next phase of hip hop is gonna come. Like I said, we had gangster rap, we had this, we had that, now we have the bubblegum stuff we have coming out now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, you know, in terms of my stuff that I wanted to talk about, we hit everything. However, is there anything that you want to add, or is there anything that I should have asked that I didn't ask?
Yeah, very good point. And I appreciate the interview, for real, because you have a very good point. There's nothing that I can really say, so that's about it.
All right, cool. Well, let's see. I'm going to turn this off, but stay in the line for a second. So just want to say thanks again for adding your voice to the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection.
All right.